Done it. 921 on In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I'm Andrew Shores, and for the next 40 minutes or so, we're going to be talking about the city of Manhattan and some affairs going on there with Mayor Yusha Reddy and City Manager Ron Fear. And a pleasure to have you both in the studio after celebrating the 4th of July last week. Yeah.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, you know, and after a week of vacation, it's only fitting that you have one really rough day tomorrow.
Right.
Not so much a rough day, but a double up meeting. Yeah. Starts at 5 o'clock with a work session tomorrow. And your next, what is this, the fourth budget work session?
Yes. I think so.
Yep.
What are some of the items expected to be heard tomorrow as you continue to discuss the capital improvements program and budget requests?
Sure. And Ron can fill in the blanks here too. We're going to be discussing, again, the mill levy and what it means to our to Manhattan, but we're mainly going to hear from the Chamber, Manhattan Chamber, as well as CVB as they do their funding requests and get an update from them. And after that, we're going to probably have a thorough discussion about where we are, how are we going to meet the needs of the city, what are some options we have, and give our city staff some options, or they already gave us some options, and figure out how we're going to fill those gaps, like I said. And they gave us several things that we can think about as far as transient guest tax, economic development funds, as well as what was the other one? Well, I can't remember the three options I had.
Economic development.
Yeah.
Property tax.
Property tax, right.
Transient
okay.
guest tax.
So maybe make it a third. So those are some things we're going to have a thorough discussion about, because we don't want to prolong the meeting into going back to everything we've discussed so far. But we would like to come to a clearer decision on how we're going to do this. And there might be a different direction we want to go completely from the options that we're given. We may, you know, figure out some other way to manage what we have to do in the city. But once again, it's going to be mainly an update and the requests from CVB and the Chamber at the same time. So,
Andrew, I would just add that, you know, this is the fourth work session. At the first work session, we had estimated a mill levy hike of about 3.2 mils. We're down to just under a mil as we go into the fourth work session, and so I think we've made some good progress. We've part of the impetus behind all of that is that we've have some increased costs. Obviously, we have some in the general fund. There's about $375,000 in general fund addition, and most of that's being driven by improvements at the airport for security personnel and contracts and equipment that we've had to buy there that were not anticipated from funding that. The other big one is in our bond and interest fund, and over the last 3 years, and that was the plan for a three-year period, we've made a debt service payment on the conference center. The city owns the conference center down on 3rd Street, but it is, the city provided funding and bonded the conference center. It is a privately owned facility, and we have a lease arrangement with the company and the hotel that operates it and does provide it, but we pay a portion of the debt service on that. And so we've paid $500,000 a year out of economic development funds the last 3 years, and that's really what's pushing the mill levy hike in the bond and interest fund. So right now that full $500,000 is to go into a property tax increase in the bond and interest fund, and that the mayor was indicating some options that we've thrown out there to kind of ease that a little bit, continue to maybe take some out of economic development, maybe take some out of the transient guest tax. The other big issue that we'll hear from the Convention and Visitors Bureau and the transient guest tax, it is that fund is a little over obligated right now based on all the requests we received. If we were to fund it the same way we have historically for the past couple years, we've funded the Downtown Manhattan Incorporated request out of that, the Arts Center, as well as the Wolf House, as well as a portion of the transient guest taxes go to help fund the Flint Hills Discovery Center. We have to make a star bond payment for down on the south end out of a portion of that. So the remaining amount is about $200,000 over obligated. So the commission needs to decide how they're going to deal with all of those funding requests, or do they want to look at raising the sales tax amount in the convention and in the transient guest tax. They could go up another percent by which would produce about another $260,000, which would more than make up that differential. So those are a lot of the discussions that we'll have. The Chamber of Commerce also provides significant services for us as our economic development partner, and also funds our military liaison person that works close with us on matters dealing with Fort Riley. So we'll receive some updates on each mm-hmm. of those from each of those groups as well. But should be a good discussion. Our work sessions start at 5:30, so people who attend those, we are starting early because we have the legislative meeting right after it. So at 7, and so since we didn't have our first meeting of the month on July 4th, then we'll do it this way.
So what is the monetary value behind one mill right now?
So a mill,
I was going to say $560,000 is one mill right now. And it was $500,000.
For the 2018 budget.
That's for the 2018 budget is estimating. What they're calculating, yeah.
So with I believe we're going to head to the phone lines right now. Caller, welcome to In Focus.
Oh, good morning. Congratulations on the mill that you cut. We need it. It needs to be zero or less. Okay. I saw in the paper or heard on the local radio station that they're talking about doing something with Beaumont, Juliet Street from Beaumont South a couple of blocks. And it sounded to me like it was at $400,000. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But I was just wondering, and I'd like to have one of you two research this. The intersection of Eaters Road and US 24 Tuttle Creek Boulevard, I think, has been declared one of the most, or maybe is the most dangerous intersection in Manhattan by KDOT, and I think the city's aware of it too. I'm just wondering, would the Beaumont project take priority over the project at Eaters Road? Now, I know you're going to get some cash from the state on that, and that's all our same cash. The same thing as the flip-flop out there by the Raleigh County Police. We got two men from them, and we spent a million, but guess where the other two men came from? The rest of the citizens. So if you could check on that, and maybe next program, report to the listening public, because I'm sure they're going to be interested. Why would we fix a street that is a brick street that's been there since 1918? Why would we fix that and not fix the most dangerous intersection in the community declared by KDOT? And maybe we could save a life up there, and I doubt if the smoothing of Juliet's going to save a life. When I used to sell cars, I'd tell people, if you want a test drive, go to Juliet and see if you have any rattles. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call. So there's a lot going on there. Just to clarify, that you're accurate in that there are kind of two different funding sources here, even though the primary funding source would be through the Kansas Department of Transportation. They have a number of programs. They have a safety program, which you indicated, in that the intersection there at Ehlers and Tuttle Creek Boulevard does rank pretty high on our safety, and we also can qualify for some geometric improvement grants there, and we've applied for there, and actually have done some improvements there at that particular intersection over the years. We created that kind of a left turn D-cell, XL lane, and it's not the best because people are still rolling through there pretty quick, and there's some other improvements that certainly that intersection would benefit from. But fortunately, KDOT has their own categories, and we have to apply for grants within those specific categories, and that's really the case down on Juliet. So we were successful in applying for a historic renovation grant that they have, and actually we're going to do four blocks. We got two back-to-back years worth, and there's a couple of projects that are going to go back-to-back here. So we're actually going to renovate four blocks of Juliet Street going south from Beaumont. The first two blocks are the first project. We're also doing some utility upgrades in conjunction with that. But we are not allowed to mix those funds. So we apply for certain categories, and there is a local match. I don't know offhand about the $400,000. My memory isn't good enough to dictate on that particular project whether that's our match amount, but it sounds reasonable that there would be. Usually I think that program normally has a 20% match, but I think we put in a little bit more to make it more competitive to get those funds. So, but I would be happy to research that and comment on it in a future meeting.
Right. No, I just wanted to say, I think that's the issue. They don't just give us a pot of money and say it can be used for anything you want. But, you know, you categorize or prioritize. I think it's very specific to what each of those monies that we get from, whether it's the state or from federal departments for transportation, how we use it. There are different areas, and they have different parameters that they're seeking. So I think we continually try to do what we can for those major intersections where there is high risk of casualties or injuries. One of those is, like, we were thinking about a roundabout at Browning and Claflin, because it's just not easy to cross that road no matter how you look at it. And I think it was the Federal Transportation Department that was willing to put in some money, or KDOT, but we decided as a commission not to go with that because it wasn't going to improve that area and may even be a little bit more hazardous. So we're always looking at those intersections where we can save lives and not just improve for aesthetics purposes. But again, it's all different pots of money that we have to try to tap into.
Well, and I was going to reference the same thing you just did, Mayor, when you were talking about the intersection of Claflin and Browning, because they wanted to install a roundabout. And it seemed like even though that was the direction that the grant money wanted to take it, that may have not been the safest option for Manhattan residents.
Exactly. So they were very specific to it. They said, that's all we can do. We can't use it the way we thought it would be best for our community. So
if we wanted their money.
If we wanted their money. So it was almost like you're being held hostage to use it their way. And yeah, we could have gone ahead and done it the way they wanted it, but it would not have been in the best interest of our Manhattan community. So those are some things we need to look at. And it was on, I think, a couple of million dollars, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was a big project. And we'll have to, the commission wanted us to continue to look at it and look for maybe look at a longer corridor improvement along that section.
Right. And that area is just messed up. So we need to do it right. And it's going to take a lot of time and money for that. But roundabout was not quite the fix. So
maybe moving back to the mill levy, you're looking at a little bit less than a mill increase at this point in time, and you've heard quite a few different requests so far.
Mm-hmm.
What did it feel like as a commissioner, city staff to, for instance, the Alcohol Advisory Board? There's less money there than there was last year, so therefore that puts a little bit more responsibility on the city. How is that going to work out?
That's a great question, because we, last year, when the Special Alcohols Advisory Board came to us with their requests, one of the requests was they had for a co-responder, and they decided not to do that because that would get rid of all of the money that they had. And they figured, since we already approved a co-responder from our CPD budget, that they'll just wait for data to come and get a second one. And I think we fought hard on the city commission that we really needed the second co-responder. Otherwise, we're going to lose the first one, because it's kind of like a 24/7 job, and you need at least two or three people to man that spot. So then we decided to approve it, knowing that we're going to be, taking in all of the money that was in there. So then we felt that impact this year. But the other thing that I saw this year was there was a request for $800,000. During my term on the city commission, I've never seen $800,000 in requests from the Special Alcohols Fund. So even if we didn't fund the co-responder, we still would not have been able to do the $800,000 that they were requesting. So we had to do the $500,000. And I think, that advisory board has a certain amount of money that they can use specifically for certain substance abuse issues or alcohol abuse. So they did an excellent job. They even trimmed some of the money from the other, but from their, what they usually give to certain agencies. So that's very tough. For the social services, again, their team goes to all of these social service areas, whether it's the Manhattan Emergency Shelter, Boys and Girls Club, whatever it might be, and vets them. And they asked for $500,000, and we're going to see if that's what we want to do. But we had about $1.3 million in requests to address issues in our community that have to do with substance abuse or families or individuals in poverty or homelessness or whatever it might be. So that's a huge demand, and that's coming from local governments have to pick this up because of what's happening at the state and federal level. So it's such a complex matter. But I was overwhelmed with the needs that we have, because that's an invisible community that we don't often think about, and it definitely exists. So,
well, I think the mayor said it well.
From what I recall, too, John Ball and Jaron McKee and members of the Social Service Advisory Board, they did a great job of trying to pare down the request. And doing a lot with a little is really what it seemed like.
Exactly. And, you know, that's one thing that I really like about our advisory boards. You have a diverse group of people who in any other capacity may not know what's going on in our community. But these are people that their paths may never cross except on this social services advisory board. And when you have to make tough decisions for what these agencies need, you understand that this is really a really small amount from their millions of dollars budget that they need us so they can match other grant funding. So it's not that we can just say no. They're going to lose all federal funding or state funding if they don't have a certain percentage of local commitment to it. They need to know that we want to take a little bit of ownership and responsibility on our end as well.
Well, and when you talk about the Social Service Advisory Board and maybe some public health needs mm-hmm. in Manhattan and Riley County, I can reference one example from last week's Riley County Commission meeting on Thursday. There's a shortage of emergency foster care homes.
Exactly.
And they're trying to organize a community coalition. So when you look about, you know, the county mm-hmm. is tight for money too. The city is tight for money.
Right.
Where's that going to come from?
Yeah. And I think that's what it is. We need to look. And that's also a school issue. I'm glad they're looking at school funding, because if we can do preventive measures on that end of education and for our parents and for our children, maybe we won't have those need for emergency services, for foster care homes and things of that sort. So it's a bigger, more complex issue. But staffing is a big part of it. You can't get people. I mean, you have to pay them a decent amount of salary to come here, because these are very challenging populations and not everybody wants to do them, because then you get burnout and you don't want that either. So staffing is one of the critical areas that we're having to recruit and retain people, and there's a demand for them nationally. So that's something we need to work on harder as well.
Well, you know, this budget season almost seems like Manhattan is a smaller community starting mm-hmm. to deal with bigger community issues. Is that what it kind of seems like here?
I think so. I think we've always had these issues. I think the thing with Manhattan is we're a gem in a way, because we are doing rather well as far as economically, and our partnerships with Fort Riley, USD 383, and Kansas State University still make us the place to be. But along with that, we have a certain population that's also growing, because rural areas are also, they're, you know, shutting down hospitals, schools are closing. So they're going other places, and we're one of those places they're going. So to meet that need, part of our growing population is also something we need to consider. And you're exactly right. We're not, you know, beyond 60,000 in our population, but we certainly have high amount of needs in all demographic areas at this point.
Well, it's 9:38 here at K-Man's In Focus. The phone lines are open, by the way, 785-537-1350. But we're going to go ahead and take a break. Speaking, of course, with Manhattan Mayor Yusha Reddy and City Manager Ron Fear. We'll be right back after this.